living the new life of faith daily, and the Christian faith will profess the physical manifestation of those things. The physical manifestation of those things. Everything must have the physical component of it. It must have the physical component of it. It must manifest in real life. In real life. In real life. It's not abstract talk. And so we began to talk about, you must understand, when I want to talk to us, please. You know, you can block your blessings. You can walk under a curse, even as a Christian. You can keep yourself bound. You can. When you go to live under the Old Testament, you have what the scripture called unrenewed mind. Transformation doesn't take place like that. You cannot be renewed except by the word of God. And Christ is the word. When you live in the Old Testament, you are not living the blessings of God. You cannot access the blessings of God through the Old Testament. I can't say it more than this. This is exactly the truth. You know, when we're singing, all other gods, they are what? And then we sing, I will never worship. So all other gods, they are the works of what? The Old Testament is the work of men. When we're singing, the Lord said to me, he said, they don't even know what they're talking about. He said, they try to worship me with the works of men. Works of men, whether the idol you made or what you present yourself, works of men. Works of men. The New Testament is not about works of men. It's about works of who? God. You don't worship God with the works of men. And we sing it. These are other gods, they are the works of men. But you bring your own works too, which you produced to God. And say to God, this is my payment for your blessing. It's an insult to God. He said, all those your righteousness, they are filthy what? Filthy rag. I don't want to see them. They're impure. You know, because we judge ourselves that we're good. But God didn't appoint you a judge. God already told us that all have sinned. There is none righteous. No, not one. So you can't go under the Old Testament, brethren. The laws of Moses are not the ways to God. I want to bring an umbrella here. Can you give me that umbrella? I want to show you what many Christians do. And they blame God and blame everybody else. But they won't listen when you're teaching them. You see this umbrella? What is this? I don't know how to do this. If I'm walking under the umbrella and it's raining, will it touch me? This is what many Christians do. When you put up all this carnal stuff, all this thinking that is not based in Christ, you put up an umbrella and the rains of heaven will not touch you. That's what you do. You carry an umbrella around. It's religious, but it's worthless to God. Carry an umbrella around, and the dews of heaven is falling. They won't touch you. I was there, the Lord said, get an umbrella. So when you go there, open it up and show them what many people do. Because you want to worship God under an umbrella. That's what carnal mind do. Carnal mind, they depend on carnal things, what people do. Carnal, what people do. Physical. Natural. A carnal man does not receive from God. Can't receive. Old Testament, the Bible called it canal system. The priests were human beings who had sins. The blood was that of animal. The temple was human, men built it. It was men hand built the temple. And God said, I don't live in houses built by what? Hands of men. Don't give me what men built. I don't live there. My hands do my stuff for me. In the New Testament, his hand did it. But then you want to walk under open heaven, you fold this umbrella up and do away with it. A man. So a man comes to my help. Come up here. Say, Pastor, take this thing away. So he takes it away from me. Listen. Open heaven. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus Christ is your open heaven. It's only through him you access God. God has no other way to come to him except faith in Christ. Any other thing is umbrella. Thank you. Only through Christ. And Jesus said, nobody cometh to the Father by me. And if you can't come to the Father, neither can you access the Father's blessing. Because you can't jump behind Christ. It's not going to happen. I want you to understand this. Hebrews 7:18. Says, for on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandments. Can I have another translation? Let's deal with this word annulling. Can you give me King James? We have a few King James people here. Their number is reducing. So let's love them this morning. If you don't have King James, okay. Okay, for there is verily this annulling. Okay, can we put Amplified? Maybe Amplified will give us. But on the one hand, the former commandment is canceled. It's what? Canceled. Why? Because of its weakness and uselessness. Because of its inability to justify the sinner before God. Totally canceled. Now you operate this system that is canceled. You are drawing on a card that is expired. Get nothing. Friends, you must work on your mind. And the same thing, this umbrella thing, is you claim that God is punishing you for what? You're working under the umbrella. Jesus didn't bring us judgment. He brought us justification. Romans 5:1, New Living Translation. Are you here or have you gone home? If you are here, shout hallelujah. If you have gone home, wave to me. So we'll bring you back home. You must get this thing, because if you get it, you walk on that blessing 24/7. Stop laboring. Stop putting yourself through what you're not supposed to put yourself through. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by what? By what? What did the Bible say about the New Testament? The just shall live by faith. If you are living by faith, then you are living by faith in what God has done. Not in the works of men. Not in the works of men, brethren. Not in the works of men. The heart of a man is in the hand of God. He turns it wherever he wants. The Bible says, who maketh you to be different from the other? Is it not God? So, it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Because of what Christ Jesus had done for us. That's not the work of men. Stop worshiping the works with the works of men. God says, I don't live in temples that your hands have built. Don't build me stuff with your hands. I'm not going to use that. Until God provided his own sacrifice, all these other sacrifices were, if they couldn't take away sin. Only the one he provided took away sin. That's what I teach on Thursday. I say we have fear. We don't understand the love of God, that God already appeased himself. Every religion you see is trying to resolve this issue of appeasement. They are so afraid. So the other people tell you, if you kill somebody, then God will be pleased with you, then give you virgins in heaven. If you build a mosque. Others will say, if you meditate and stay at a place, and they give you things to do to cleanse your soul. All of that is an attempt to provide a man access to God. But all of them are works of men. A to Z. Native doctor will tell you, we need chicken from you. So to appease the gods. They will tell you. Because man knows that it's not good. Man, you don't tell man you're not good. Every human being knows in his consciousness that man is not good. So we're all seeking a way to approach God. That's what it happens in all the religions. The sad thing is those people who say they're Christians read the Bible. You wonder which Bible they read. Now, if they come into Christianity, they carry these things from, they carried when they were not Christians to Christianity, trying to appease God again by the works of men. What's the difference between what the native doctor is doing and what you are doing? You're presenting the works of men. And who appeased himself? Only what God did appeased him. Because Abraham said, God will provide for himself a what? A lamb. God did. And when the lamb showed up, somebody said, behold, the lamb of men. Church, talk to me. Behold, the lamb of who? God. God provided it. It was God that provided. Watch it. It's only what God provided that has changed man, that has brought man to where God wants man to be. Because man is lost. And then God built his own temple. So now you are the temple of the living. We're singing it. All right, that goes. And the Lord said to me, what they sing, they don't even understand. They worship me with their works, with their hands. So because of our faith now, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. Where? Why is it undeserved? It's not provided by the works of men. It's provided by what God has done. Undeserved privilege, where we now stand. And we confidently now, and how again, joyfully look forward to sharing what? What do you mean sharing his glory? When you are healed, when you are healed, you share in his glory. The power of God restores your health. When God answers your prayer, your joy is full. You share in his glory. You share in what he's doing. You share in what he's doing. Right now, whoever believes, we share in the glory of what he's doing. We haven't talked of the works of men yet. It's his glory, not yours. I don't talk about works of men. But Galatians 3:10 tells us something. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are what? Well, that is cause for the scriptures. Why? Because it's the works of men. It's what they depend, what they do. And that is cause. Because the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey how many? All the commands that are written in God's book of law. People walk on their course. If you see where we boast about how many hours we pray, and then how many we do this, and even go to God and tell him that. Oh, Lord, that God, they are the works of men, but you are the only God. And there is no. When you go to God, you bring him his works. You bring him what he gave you in Christ. And say, Lord, I'm grateful. By faith I receive, I believe. It's mine. Works for you. Because it's a place of undeserved privilege. If something is undeserved, what does it mean? If something is unmerited, what does it mean? Huh? It's not as a result of your works. Because if it's your works, then you merited it. You merited it. Brethren, can we talk a little bit? You know what God warned the church about? He said, labor to enter my rest. Not your rest. My rest. Why is it my rest? Why didn't he say labor to enter your rest? He says, cease from your labors. Enter my rest. I'm the one providing you this rest. I'm the one. Because I've done the work. I've finished the work. It's done. It's finished. It's finished. And that's why Jesus was inviting us to come. Come unto me. Who are labor and what? I will give you what? My rest. I'm the one that gives you rest. Cease your labor. Stop the works of men. They don't work. Provided my own lamb. Provided you the healing. Provided you everything. Went on the cross. Did everything. Made you righteous. I did everything from beginning to the end. I called you to come and take it and enjoy. And the Bible said, Israel, because they refused to enter this rest, they did not enjoy the blessing of God. And it's one in the church. He said, labor. Why is it labor? Because all these wrong teachings and wrong doctrines will struggle with you. Struggle with you. And produce canopy, umbrella. Do you know under the umbrella? Give me the umbrella again. Who took my umbrella? I just bought it. A man, how can you take my umbrella? Since you took it, come, both of us are going to be under the umbrella now. Me and my brother, come. Open the umbrella. You can't steal. You don't know how to steal. You can't steal, a man. You can't be a good thief. So both of us are what? I look up. What do you see up? Do you see anything up, a man? Is there anything you can see up? You see, we can't see up, right? What blinds us? All those carnal mind things blind you. You can't see up. But the Bible says, look up. Your salvation, look up. See beyond the veil of men. This will not let you see. You can't look up. All you can see is natural carnal things. You can't look up. I don't care how they preach to you. You can't look up. Because you go home and keep doing what you're doing. You are blind. You don't see nothing. Until you take it off. When you take it off, your eyes of understanding opens. You can look up and see what people don't see. Naturally, you see those undeserved privileges. They are spiritual things. And they are spiritually discerned. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. You can't depend on the law and the works of men to get these things done. You depend on the cross. Jesus finished it there. He said, labor to enter my rest. I have finished the work. Done. No labor required from you. The Bible said that the righteous flourish like the palm. Didn't the scripture say, be still? Be what? Still. Why? The Bible says salvation is not of man. God provided us righteousness. Provided salvation. Provided healing. Provided all your needs. I'm still going to the list of his works. Provided you everything. Wisdom, everything. Strength. The Lord is the strength. You haven't yet said I'm the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Therefore, of whom shall I fear? And I can boldly say, what can man do? Because the works of man cannot trump the works of God. See why we're fearful. Because when we get familiar with the works of God, we'll stop fearing the works of men. And we stop fearing any other work, including Satan, whatever they call him. Stop fearing them, because the work of God trumps all of them. And those that trust in him will never be put. You must be Jesus conscious. You must be conscious of all this work that is finished. You must live by them. You must. Because the just shall live by faith. And the just shall live by every word that comes out of the word, mouth of God. I don't know any other thing we are told to live by. To live by faith. Faith in the word that comes out of the mouth of God, giving you the testimony of Christ, in whom God has finished everything for you. You see, I'm struggling with this thing. It's called bondage. The reason they struggle is that they have not accepted the freedom he brought you. If you accept that freedom, if you know the truth he's telling you, if you know the truth that is in Christ Jesus, the truth shall set you what? Free. It's the truth that does it. There's no struggle. There's no struggle. Free from whatever. Free from, I don't care the name they give it in hospitals. These hospitals are wonderful in giving names. And it's Latin name, you know, medicine and they're not English, they're not British and American. They're really from Latin. Most of the books written in pharmacopoeia, they were all Latin names. And most of the drug that the names were called are Latin. Don't care the name they call it. Works of men, works of Satan, works of flesh cannot trump the hand of God. Impossible. You say, I'm struggling with this. It's the work of your flesh. It can't trump what God has done. If God says, I've set you free from that thing can't trump what God has done. All that God is saying, who will believe what I've said? The law cannot deal with it. God himself did. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless what? His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All his benefits. Now, this is the way you pray this kind of prayer. Your prayer is, may you hit heaven quickly. I remember when I went to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to be a pastor. Oh, we struggled for 10 solid years. I didn't want the job I'm doing. I didn't want it. I wanted to be a businessman. I haven't told God that I'm Igbo, that business is in our blood. You made us business people, so why am I different? Because I made up my mind that I came into this world to make money. I convinced myself my real existence is to make what? Money, to be rich. Sit. And I told my wife, I said, I'm done reading. Newspaper, I'm not even reading. I said, I read too much for pharmacy school. And we did. We really did. They crammed this work into us 5 years, and all they gave me was Bachelor of Pharmacy. And then the professor that I worked under called me and said, you should have a master's degree. What you did is master's work. He said, let me take you to Egypt, Alexandria University, where I came from, will give you a master's degree. Because I did everything. I did my thesis. I defended my thesis. I did everything. I did research work. I wrote and wrote. I still have the book I wrote. It's still like I stood before the faculty. I defended everything. And one God helped me. The day I defended it, nobody knew what I was doing except two people. So even when I made mistakes, they didn't know. Only those two people. Only those people knew what I was doing. They didn't. I still remember, I didn't have to detect CNS drugs, micro quantity. I had to detect it. You know, using, let me not go there. I don't want my wife confused. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. So when we come and worship God and begin to worship him and say, Lord, I'm so grateful you provided me. Your hands did this. You made me a new creature. And I'm not what I used to be. All things have what? Lord, I worship you for the works of your. I'm so grateful that you clothed me in your righteousness. I don't have any righteousness. It's yours. The works of your hand. I bow before the mighty hand of God. That's what it means. Humble yourself under what? Mighty hand. I bow before the mighty hand of God. The hand that delivered me from all destruction. The hand that provided all my needs, that I'm not under a curse today. It's because of what you did. You became a curse for me, that the blessings of Abraham will be mine. You do this consistently 6 months, you can watch your life change. Just watch your life. Because the Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Does it sound like prayer? Come on, church. Okay. Let's see if your prayer lines up with this one. Okay. It says, and forget not all what? What does it, why did he say his benefit? Not my benefit. They provided free. Why did he say, forget not all my benefits? Why did he say all his benefits? Because he gave me undeserved favor. This undeserved is his. He's giving me. The Bible said, out of his abundance we receive grace upon grace. Giving us out of his abundance. Then he began to name them. Who forgiveth some of thy iniquities? How many? Who healeth all or some? Am I talking to Christians? Is my Bible different? Which kind of Bible are you reading? My own said some. Your own said how many? See trouble. I don't want a fight. We have to agree. What did your own say? What is all? Huh? Is arthritis part of it? Is heart problem part of it? Is high blood pressure part of it? How many? Do you think God is telling lies? Why is it we don't experience it? Because we think it is the works of men that will make it happen. God said, no, I already finished. Stop struggling to impress me. You can't appease me with how many hours you kneel down. I think don't appease me, nothing. Because without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of your sins. If you like, kneel down there 100 hours, your sins will remain. I appeased myself. I took care of your sins. You have nothing to take care of. And because now your sins are taken care of, there is peace between you, so you can approach me boldly. Let's start from verse 2. I want us to read verse 2 together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefit. Number one, why do we allow the devil to accuse us and produce this evil heart of unbelief? The Bible says, don't come to God with that. They come boldly. Come boldly. Because Christ is ministering on your behalf with his blood. It's because of the blood you come. Don't come for any other reason. The blood. So he forgiveth all thy iniquities. If you agree with me, shout hallelujah. Now, I want you to give testimony to your neighbor. Tell him all my iniquities have been forgiven. I know he didn't hear you. Please do it one more time. Then can we preach together? Now I preach to him and say, and your own iniquities have been forgiven. One more thing, tell him because of the blood of Jesus, God has washed you clean. Tell him one more, you are clean. You are clean. So enjoy. Enjoy. Do you know what happened to Job? Job was a sin-conscious human being. Every time his children would come back, because he used to attend one church in Brother Zendokwere's village. They had their village. Every time his children would come back, Job would do sacrifice. He was so afraid of sin. So afraid of sin. Like many Christians are today. All they talk about is sin. And because he was so afraid of sin, he was afraid of divine punishment. Then when the devil saw that this man had no faith, that he was living in fear, he went to God and said, see that yourself. You put a wedge around him. But he has no shield. That's your way of doing things. Has no shield of it. Living in fear. You know that the devil deals with us on legal grounds. It's a legal thing. And God said, okay. And the thing hit Job. What did Job say? The things that I feared have what? Come. You can't fear and have faith at the same time. Okay. Because it was sin conscious. Okay. And then watch it now. In the midst of that, he began to build up his faith again. He said, even if he kills me, I will yet praise him. His faith began to come. His faith began to come. His faith began to build. In God, his God. And God said, wow. The devil was instantly disarmed. Because that shield of faith will quench every doubt he throws. When you live in this sin consciousness thing, you will never have faith in God. And you think he's being humble. Is it not as a man thinketh? Why don't you live in the consciousness of the cross, and what Jesus did for you? And see your mind transformed, renewed, and you live in it. Because out of your heart comes all the issues of your life. You cannot have faith when you do not look up to the source of faith, Christ himself, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says, focus on him. Look unto him. Then the Holy Spirit of God will be able to reveal him to you. Because you are looking at him. If you are not looking at him, what is he going to reveal to you? What is he going to show you? What will teach you? Is it not if you are attentive, the teacher will be showing you? John 6:45. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by who? By God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. All that teaching focuses you to Christ, takes you to Christ. That's where he's heading. That's where he's going, not to Moses. Because in him is everything God has for us. Once come to me. Look at John 16:13. How we eat. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Where? Church. Where? Where do you find all truth? In him is the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Who is the person? In Christ, he came and declared, he said, I'm the truth. All the truth is in me. Every truth is in me. I am the truth itself. So the Holy Spirit will come and direct you into that truth that you find in Christ, fulfilled on the cross and being revealed to the church, which Moses and his time, they didn't have. But you need to be somebody who is focused, somebody who looks to Christ, somebody who wants to know Jesus, somebody who understands that is my only hope of glory. I don't have any. Brethren, I want to ask you, have you ever traveled before? Some of you have never entered a plane. I don't even know how you came. But you are here. You are welcome. But when you were traveling, there was one thing you wouldn't miss called passport. You must look for it. You must make sure you what? Jesus is your passport. If you leave it, no access. No access. We went to Costco, me and Pastor Tunde, and we got there. I said, Pastor Tunde, they don't know you here, my friend. I said, stop following me. Stay there, you're African. So watch me enter. After I enter, try and enter and see what they tell you. We're laughing. So we entered together. I said, Pastor, you know this is what Jesus did. All I showed them was Costco card. All you show heaven is Jesus. Only Jesus. And the door said, I will in no, he said, anybody that comes to me through him, I will in no wise cast. Why? He paid for you to have access with his blood. With his blood. With his what? Blood. And so Paul was telling us how he got this revelation in Ephesians 3 verse 1. When I think of all this, man, see, when I think of all of these things, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming by the way that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself, God what? Himself. Go, quickly go back to John 6, 45 for me, please. Quickly. Then we'll come back to it. John 6, 45. John 6, 45. As it is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every one of us must be taught of God. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. To teach you and to teach me, to guide us into all truth that is in Christ Jesus. You cannot neglect the teacher. He is the Holy Spirit of God. He is here with us. He came to teach us. He came to guide us into the truth. So we must be interested in his teachings. And I said, one of the primary ways he teaches us is you carry your Bible and take your notebook and study there. He will teach you. And then you sit in the classroom he has set up called the church. He said, I've set in the church, I put teachers. He said, I put them. You didn't put them. Again, the work of God. This is what he does. He puts them, he uses them, he teaches you through them, he puts them. And then he said to you, obey those in authority over you. He's done. After telling you all that, he's done. The rest is up to you. You know one thing with God? He doesn't struggle with human beings. He said, I don't struggle with flesh. You make your choice. If you know more than him, enjoy. But he has told you all that will help you. He said, humble yourself. Then I will lift you up. One of the ways he lifts you up is to give you revelation. But revelation will keep you a step ahead of anything else. Ignorance is dangerous. Ignorance makes you proud when you don't know anything. Ignorance makes you think you are something when you are zero. Ignorance will make you, when you are burning, killing yourself, you say you are producing oil. Ignorance is dangerous. It's destructive. Ignorance will make you take what will kill you and think it will bless you. Ignorance will make you attribute the devil's work to God and attribute God's work to the devil. If you're ignorant, the devil can confuse you. Say, God gave me this thing so that his name will be glorified. Oh. Ignorance. It's a terrible, terrible thing. The devil will use it and keep you under his perpetual oppression. But you will quickly accept what he's doing as God. Ignorance is dangerous, brethren. Pride will blind you. It's no proud person who sees anything. They're incorrigible. They know more than you. They'll even claim they hear God more than you. But God said, yeah, you hear more than me, but I told you something. Obey those in authority over you. You haven't done that one. Didn't you hear that? You can't hear more than God when you are violating scripture. That's not the spirit of God. Because the spirit and the word agree. Any other thing is demonic. Read your Bible. He said, if they don't speak according to this word, it's because there's no truth in them. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. So you sit on that Sunday school, you are humble enough to come there. And if they make you to teach Sunday school, you are humble enough to do it with all your heart. Because as you are teaching, you are learning. Pastor Chuka is not here. He told us a story how when Pastor Uche was pushing him to teach Sunday school, he wouldn't listen. Then one day he got home and the Lord called him and said, do you think teaching Sunday school is for my benefit or for your benefit? He said, I never thought about that. He said, no, tell me, do you think this Sunday school you are teaching, is it for my benefit or for your benefit? He said, it dawned on him that he needed that to teach that Sunday school. That's for his own benefit. He said, if you know what is good for you, you will run and start teaching Sunday school. The one you teach, I begin to teach you. I begin to teach you and cure your ignorance. And he ran back, asked Kuchina. Say, I want to teach what? See where he is now. So short a time. God developed that man. And if you see the level of faith he and the wife are exercising, incredible. Amazing. I told you how an angel came into their church. Walked into their church and told them what God would do here. If he didn't take that Sunday school, he wouldn't be there today. He won't be there. He was not going there. Because the steps of a good man is always order. When you're out of step, they wait for you until you come back to that place. If he didn't do that, he wouldn't be there today. And see what God is doing in their promotion, in their jobs. It's like heaven opened on them. Incredible what God is doing. If he didn't do that, that would have blocked him. Because God will wait, because that's where God wanted to train him. I'm telling you, don't know your need. Oh, Jesus, sometimes we think we know what to do. Don't know your need. Only God knows what a man needs. Can I hear MM Church? God knew he needed that. So you take your Sunday school seriously. Take Life Center seriously. Take Life Center seriously. I spoke to the youth Friday. I came to my office. I was there from morning till the time I was to speak to them. I was preparing it. I was praying over it. I was meditating over it. I stayed for hours. I could go and be doing anything. Just come. Is it not you? Just talk to them. I know. Because if you honor God in those things, then God will use you to do what he's doing. But if you call what God is doing common, we'll leave you alone. You teach in Life Center, you call it common, you don't prepare, you don't pray. See how we don't know. Revelation is not coming. Because God says, I don't give my pearls to what? Dogs. They don't know the value. They don't know the value. When I get ready for this sermon, my wife will tell you. It's almost all I sit at a place focused. Focused. Me and God, focused. And I take a break and come back, focused. But I'm telling you, it's tough. Sometimes I go away, she will tell you. She won't see me for 5 days. I'll go away, focused. I don't want disturbance from anybody. I don't have social life. I don't have. Because all my time is invested in this thing. All my mind, all my thinking. I don't remember shoe. Don't remember trousers. Don't remember dollar. I don't remember nothing. Focused on this thing. I go from my house to church, church to my house. Shop prices, all these things barely. When you teach Sunday school now, you teach life center. Don't you know you should serve God acceptably? Invest in it. Get involved in it. Because souls have been committed. When you do that, you develop. You develop. You're in the choir. You don't come and sing. You spend time and praying. I say, Lord, what would you want me to what? Sing. Because he's the one directing. He's the one. He'll give you songs. Then he will anoint it. But if you choose the one you like, you'll be leading, people will be singing, but you notice the thing is like, nothing. Because you've honored him and said, Lord, it's your work, not my, it's the works of your hand. So give me what you want to sing, want us to sing. Let me tell the choir a secret. He will give you the same song that the angels are singing. The same time. I'm not kidding. The same family in heaven will merge. He will make you sing the same songs the angels are singing. The same. One time one service, I was telling them, I said, the angels are here. I was describing what they were wearing. And Pastor Dan, one young boy, he said, Pastor, whoa, I can see them. They are here. I can see them all. I can see them. I told him, I said, the center of power is where? Here. I said, the thing is coming from here and going out through. My wife saw it. We are connected. I give you the same song. The angels are what? You see it flow. You see, it's like, the thing is like fire but burning. You look at the people, they are lost. They're under the anointing of God. That's what a leader should do. They're leading us into those things. But you have to receive it from who? Same thing in your Sunday school. What to teach under the anointing? It's the works of his hand. Lord, prepare me. What do you want me to teach? Follow your lesson. Be humble. See what they give you to follow. Follow it. Just follow it. God is not disordered. Follow it. Don't follow emotions. Follow it. Just follow it like that. Prove it. And love those people with all your heart. See what God would do. Sitting under you are missionaries, are pastors, are doctors, are engineers, are businessmen, are people that God will use to provide money for the work of God. But God has given you the opportunity to lay their foundation now. Now. And your work is so important because if you miss it now, it will need to be corrected in future. Is anybody following me? If you are following me, shout hallelujah. So, in Ephesians 3, we are still reading Ephesians 3, verse 1. It says, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you. That I see to Paul, that work was special. He called it special because God gave it to me. Whatever God gives you is what? Special. If God gives you a Sunday school class, that class is what? Special. If God makes you a head of ministry, my brother, you are blessed. That ministry he gave into your hand is what? Only three people say special. Everybody must say special. Come on, say special. You see, the children God gave you, they are special. The job he gave you, that job is what? Special. Don't look down on it and go and be yapping all over the place. If you don't have that job, you know what hunger means. Appreciate that job. I'm telling you. If you know this, you can pray for 2 hours. Stay thanking God. Stay blessing him. Because you have a lot. Forget not all his benefits. You have a lot to thank him for. You haven't finished in 2 hours. But we don't know that these things are special. So Paul said, special, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plans to who? To me. And God is no respecter of persons. We shall be taught of God. The Holy Spirit has to reveal this to you. Revelation is not a general thing. Rhema is one-on-one. It's one-on-one. I don't consider that I've studied my Bible until I get Rhema. I don't go there to read Bible. I go there to hear God. My purpose in opening my Bible is not to read. It's to hear who? I didn't hear you. It's to hear who? And until I get it, I can close and say, Lord, I'm coming back. I haven't had you. I haven't had you. And then he begins to teach you. Then you make notes now. Once he starts teaching you, you see mysteries. He's revealing stuff to you. You just start making notes. You start making notes. Then your conversation is going. And you don't stop until he stops. He knows you are going to walk. Say, Lord, I'm going to walk. I know. You keep writing. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And I recommend if you come here, come with your notebook. So you jot down the things he's telling you. If you start jotting down what God is telling you, your conversation with him will improve. Because he knows you are now serious and you are honoring his word. Not only in church, you should have small notebooks you carry around. So if God gives you, tells you something, you pull up your notebook and what? Jot it down. Later on, when you want to pray, take it out and talk to him about it. Because he talks to us all the time. But we forget. If you have something where you, whatever he drops in your heart, you pull that thing up and quickly jot it down. Then in the evening or something, you go to him and say, Lord, you talk to me about this. Can we now discuss it? Praise the Lord. You want another job that will keep you here because he will give you one better than the one you have now. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. How many of you are looking for jobs here? You are looking for a job. Stand up. Stand up. Take one. Stand up. If you are looking for a job, stand up. Tell the Lord what you want. Tell the Lord what you want, what type of job you're looking for. I'm not making the choice for you. Quickly, let's get this out of the way. Because he won't let me continue. Quickly. Tell the Lord what type of job you want. I can't make that decision for you. Quickly. Father, we want to thank you for these ones that are looking for a job. You make a way where there's no way. You said in Mount Zion we possess our possessions. Part of our possessions is job. You said it's important for us to walk. That if we don't walk, we don't eat. So it's your will for us to walk. Lord, they've told you exactly why they want those jobs. They've told you how, and we've told them it's the work of the Lord. It's the work of your hands. It's not our works that make it happen. We don't open doors. You open doors. We don't make a way. You make a way. Father, make a way for your children. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're talking about, the mysteries of God being revealed to us by the Holy Spirit as we interact with him, as we fellowship with him. Now look at the early church, their testimony. 1 John 4:16. Am I communicating to you? 1 John what? 4:16. And we know. See? This is the early church or the first church. They know. I'm reading Amplified. He said, and we know. We have come to know by personal observation and experience. We know and have believed. Now, first of all, you know. The second thing is what? You believe. First of all, you what? You know. And then you believe. So they say, we have come to know and we have now believed with deep, consistent faith the love which God has for us. The process is you know, the Spirit of God reveals it to you. Then you believe. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God. So when the Holy Spirit reveals to us the things that are freely given to us, we know them first. Then we can believe them. You can't believe what you don't know. You got to know that you are healed first. You got to know and be persuaded. He said, with deep, consistent faith. We now believe it with deep, consistent. Nothing can talk me out of this thing. Consistent faith. You got to know that God has made you righteous. God has made you righteous, the works of his hands. You got to know you are not what you used to be, and sin does not have control over you. The Holy Spirit has. Who is your head? Jesus is your head. I'm asking again. Who is your head? So who controls you? Jesus. It's not sin. It's not the devil. You got to believe firmly with consistent faith that Jesus has set you free. And if the Son has set you free, you are free. And stop talking this talk that is not Bible. Coming from an umbrella, you put up umbrella again. You must have this consistent faith about, be convinced in your heart about what Christ has done, the works of his hand, his benefits. You must be able to enumerate them like David began to tell us, he let all my diseases. You say, Pastor, but I have pain. Say so. Believe first. I will see. Am I talking to us? Jesus said, more blessed to what? Believe before see. But we want to see. You know why? Because we don't understand. We don't understand. And so that takes us that the fact, the moment you begin to believe, you begin to see it. The blessings of God are activated by word and action. The blessings of God are activated by what? An action. The blessings of God are what? I didn't hear you. I'm coming down. The blessings of God are what? 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 Okay, I'm here. Has he done anything? Huh? He's sitting here. But I have something in mind. He won't do anything until I say it. But he's here. The blessing is here. Nothing until you say it. Okay, I have something in mind. You don't know what I have in mind. But I have something in mind. But he won't respond. Okay, come. What made him respond? Okay, go back and sit down. Okay, I came here. Sit down. I'm standing before him. What will he respond to? Until you say so, your circumstance has nothing to respond to. It has nothing to respond to. Until you what? That circumstance, the Bible says you speak to mountains. That circumstance listens. It has life. That's why it's permitting you. It has life. It's doing something. But what will he respond to? You have not said anything. Until you say so. You say, who says so? Don't say so. No. Your circumstance will be pummeling you. Because he has not had nothing from you. And yet, you have the word that can change it. And you have not said so. Did you know, I was telling the women that if you read the Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said the world was without what? Void. But the Spirit of God was hovering. Nothing happened. That circumstance didn't change. It didn't change because there was nothing to respond to until God told that circumstance what to do. God now said, let there be, and then the circumstance responded and there was light. The Spirit of God walked it out. But until God spoke, there was nothing the Spirit of God will walk with. The circumstance had nothing to respond to until God speaks. It doesn't happen until God speaks. The same thing. That circumstance, that sickness and things has nothing to respond to until you speak. Until you open your mouth and declare to that sickness, said, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been what? Healed. So he now realizes there's a new situation you are declaring. Because the Bible says, declare thou and they shall be established. Am I communicating to you? Now, here you are declaring the wrong things. And those things you are declaring, your circumstances are also obeying them. They're obeying them. Because you have forgotten that the Bible says that life and death is what? You create death by speaking the works of men and the works of the world and the works of Satan, even claiming them. But the word of God creates life. Jesus said, I've come that you have what? Life. And have it what? Don't you now understand? For you to create life, you speak the words of Christ that is done to bring life to you. If I will ask you, if I will tell you the truth, we are circumstances of our words. We end up with what we say. You can be telling your friends, you can be telling your family people, that you are saying something. And guess who is listening? Your circumstance listening. You can be talking like you don't think it means anything, but somebody is there listening. And you are describing to them how the devil has killed you, how you are almost dead. The circumstance here, all right. The new people here, he's almost dead, so they make it worse. Why did the Bible say to us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so? Why did the scripture say, if you believe your heart and say with your mouth? The covenant of God is manifested through speaking. He said, the covenant I gave to you is my word that will be where? In your mouth. And you teach it to your children. They learn to talk my words. They learn to say what I said. So that in the face of any circumstance, you are, okay, the world was without void, dark. The Holy Ghost was there. And God knew how to do it. He said, let there be what? Light. And there was. So in the darkness of your life, in the dark circumstance of your life, you have life from Christ. You have a testimony. That's why you overcome it with the words of your testimony. Am I talking to the Christians? So whether you are talking to your friends, they visited you or not, understand that that you are telling them is words. It may not mean anything to you, but it's words anyway. It's what so, and their circumstances will respond to it. So be careful the story you tell. So instead of telling them everything that's killing you, why don't you tell them what the Lord has done? They say, but we haven't seen it. He said, no, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And if you walk by faith, you build a shield. You create victory. You create your world of victory. You live in victory. You call those things that are not. If they were. Did you get what I'm saying? And the Bible says you shall live and not die. You shall live. What's the next thing he said? I didn't hear you now. You shall live to what? So the purpose you live is declare those works of God. You declare them. You declare them. Why? Because it's through your declaration that what God did becomes reality. You create your own world by the word you speak. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down our heads. I want you to think.